So this week begins a week in the history of creation that has never been repeated. And it's what we might call the Passion Week, as we look at this week in the life of the Lord Jesus before he'll go to the cross and die, and then 3 days later be raised to life again. I heard someone recently say, they said, you know, for you Christians, this week is really important. I said, well, that's a true, but, you know, actually, if this book is true, and Jesus really died and rose again, this week is not simply important for Christians, it's important for everyone. It's important for all creation, right? And so as we begin this week together, as we start the journey this Sunday and then next Sunday celebrate our risen Savior, I want us to think about this glorious Jesus and his triumphal entry. So I want to invite you to turn in your Bible to Matthew chapter 21. Matthew chapter 21 in the church Bible, it's page 988. Page 988. Matthew chapter 21, and we're going to begin in verse 1. I'm going to take a look at a parade like none before it nor after. We just had our first St. Patrick's Day in Dublin, and the St. Patrick's Day parade, there were about 500,000 people at the parade, and I assure you, no one's lives were changed in a good way. And yet, here we're going to see this triumphal entry, this parade of Jesus the Servant King, and how it has changed all creation for all eternity. Matthew chapter 21, and we're going to begin in verse 1. And let's pray, and then we'll read together. Lord Jesus, now, as we come to your word, Father, as always, we pray that by your Holy Spirit, that, Lord, you would open our minds and give us understanding of your word. We confess that this is like no other book, and so we need you, Holy Spirit, to be at work in our minds that we might understand it. We pray, Holy Spirit, that you might be at work in our hearts, that you would soften our hearts, Lord, that we might be transformed by your word, and that you would be at work in us and through us this morning for your glory and for our good. We humbly pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Matthew chapter 21, beginning verse 1, says this, "And as they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage of the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, 'Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there, and her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, say that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away.' Now this took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet, which says, 'Say to your daughter Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a donkey.' And the disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. And they brought the donkey and the colt and placed their cloaks on them for Jesus to sit on. Now a very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and while others cut branches from trees and spread them on the road. And the crowds that went ahead of him and those that follow him shouted, 'Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven.' And when Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, 'Who is this?' And the crowds answered, 'This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee.' Now Jesus entered the temple courts and drove out all who were buying and selling there. And he overturned the tables of the money changers and the benches of those selling doves. 'It is written,' Jesus said to them, 'My house will be called a house of prayer, but you are making it a den of robbers.' And the blind and the lame came to Jesus at the temple, and he healed them. But when the chief priests and the teachers of the law saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children shouting in the temple courts, 'Hosanna to the Son of David,' they were indignant. 'Do you hear what these children are saying?' they asked him. 'Yes,' Jesus replied, 'have you never read, from the lips of children and infants, you, Lord, have called forth your praise?' And he left them and went out of the city to Bethany where he spent the night. What an amazing account of the Lord Jesus and his entry into Jerusalem as he sets the course for the next week and what's going to transpire. And so out of our four gospel writers, two of them give a very detailed account of this for us, and that would be Matthew and Luke. And so I'm going to reference Matthew and Luke. We'll go a bit back and forth on those, and it'll be on the screen for us. But we're just going to see three very simple truths about who Jesus is at his triumphal entry. And here they are. Number one, we see this, that at his triumphal entry, we see the majestic glory of Jesus. At the triumphant entry, we see the majestic glory of Jesus. Look what it says in verse 5. This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. And then that's in Zechariah. And he quotes Zechariah, and he says this, "Say to daughter Zion, see your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." Luke records it this way in Luke 19. He says, "Blessed is the king who comes in the name of the Lord." The first thing we see is this. We see this majestic glory of Jesus. Don't miss this. Jesus is the king. Amen? Jesus is the king. He is God's sovereign king. The Bible says that he came the first time as a lamb. He'll come again as a lion, the lion of the tribe of Judah. And he is God's king, right? It's who he is. And so this is not how a king would traditionally enter a city, right? When we think of a king entering a city, it usually looks different. King Charles was in Italy this week. Did anyone see that? He was in Italy, and so I was watching that as he arrived, and they were showing his plane pulling up at the airport, and it was kind of funny. It looked a bit like a Monty Python sketch, because there were these three Italian guys trying to unroll the red carpet, and it kept, like, blowing back on them and stuff, and I was imagining them going, get to the carpet, it's a roll, the king's roll, you know. That's my Italian. And so and they're trying to get this red carpet out, and they finally get it out. And then I'm watching, it's live on we get the BBC in Ireland, so I'm watching it. And the plane pulls up, and these three guys, and I'm going to call them Luigi, Mario, and their cousin. And they could not get the carpet rolled out. It was so funny. But, as I watched, I realized he was not going to come off the plane until the red carpet was rolled out. And in the midst of that, I'd been reading this scripture. And I thought, oh, how different Jesus the King is. No one's rolling out carpet. There's no marching bands. There's none of that. There's no chariots. It's just this lowly Lord Jesus riding on a donkey, coming in, the sovereign King of the universe. This is a king that they did not anticipate, and a king like no other. This is a king who's come to seek and save that which is lost. The Bible says that Jesus did not come to be served, but to serve. He's coming to roll the carpet out for others. He's coming to wash others' feet. He's coming to bless others. He's coming to serve. This is our servant king. And, you know, a good king is a king who provides, a king who protects. And this is who Jesus is for us every day. He is a good king. Amen? Amen. Look at your neighbor and say, Jesus is a good king. Tell him. Tell your neighbor. Jesus is a good king. I would go on to say, Jesus is the best king. The best king, right? King of kings, amen, right? And so here he comes. Now think about this, guys. Here is the King of Kings. There's no red carpet. There's no marching band. And by the way, he knows exactly what he's marching into. He knows exactly what's coming. The Bible says that no one took his life from him, but that he willingly laid it down. Jesus knows exactly where the destination leads, and that's to his death. And in he comes. Why? Because this king, don't miss this, this king came to seek and save that which is lost. The Bible says that in this narrative that he looks over Jerusalem and he weeps. He says, "Oh, Jerusalem, how like a mother hen I wanted to gather you as chicks under my wings. to the very end, Jesus is broken over the lostness of humanity. He is a glorious king, a majestic, glorious king. By the way, when he returns, it'll be a bit different. If you read Revelation chapter 1, John encounters Jesus. And when he meets Jesus, when he sees him for the first time, he falls to the ground as a dead man. Jesus is coming back as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So at the triumphal entry here, we see the majestic glory of Jesus. Secondly, we see this, that at his triumphal entry, we see not only his majestic glory, but we see his miraculous power. His miraculous power. Look at verse 14. It says, the blind and the lame came to him at the temple, and he what? He healed them. The blind and the lame came to him at the temple, and he healed them. Luke records it this way in Luke 19. He says, when he, meaning Jesus, when Jesus came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began to joyfully praise God in loud voices, watch this, for all the miracles they had seen. Right, Jesus comes in, we see his majestic glory, but we see his miraculous power, right? Jesus comes in, and when he arrives, what's the first thing he does? He goes to the temple, right? Goes to the temple. There are folks there who are using religion as a means of manipulating and taking advantage of people. Jesus removes them from the temple, right? Because that's not what he came to do. He's not about religion. He's about relationship. He removes those guys from the temple, and then immediately he begins to heal people. It's just who he is. There's some times in the Bible where it says he goes into a village and they bring all of their sick and demon-possessed to him. I mean, and sometimes I think like, I've been at this 3 hours. I've had a long day. And Jesus sometimes, it says, just spends all day healing and casting out demons. Why? Because it's who he is. It's who he is, right? And so we see the miraculous power of Jesus. Look at your neighbor and say, we have a powerful king. Go on. We have a powerful king. Amen, church? And sometimes I can forget it. Sometimes I can forget that Jesus is not just the glorious king of all creation, but he is the powerful king of all creation. We got our electric bill this month, right? Is that right if I share this, Christy? So we're still trying to figure out Ireland, and, you know, we pay our electric bill. We do have electricity. And so I got our electric bill for the month of March, and it was 1,656 euros. And I double checked, it was 1,656 euro for 1 month. So I immediately said, Christy, what have you done? Like, what are you drying your hair with? What is going on when you're back there getting ready? Because it is draining Ireland of all its electricity. And so, by the time we get this, the electric company is closed, so I can't call them. And I'm laying in bed, and I'm not getting a wink of sleep. I'm not getting a wink of sleep. Now, I have the gift of anxiety, and I can go from 0 to 100 like that. All right, so let me tell you what I'm doing. I'm laying in bed. Christy's sound asleep, but she's the one who caused the problem, and she's sleeping. I'm like, what is happening? So I'm laying there. She didn't. So I'm laying there, and I'm like, we don't have 1,600 euro. I don't have 1,600 of anything. I'm like, how are we going to pay this? We're not going to be able to pay it. And then they're going to cut our power off, and they cut our power off, and then the landlord finds out, and we get evicted. And then our mission board finds out, and they're like, did you steal electricity? I'm like, we didn't. We can't prove it. And then we lose our job. And I kid you not, within 10 minutes, Christy and I were living in a box on the side of the road. And I'm like, and our kids, we won't have anything to do with us. Who wants to visit your parents in a box on the side of the road? And so Kayla and Max, they'll have nothing to do with us. And then now it sounds funny, but I can do that. I can go from a power bill to being homeless in my heart like that. And I have no sleep and I'm sick on my tummy. And so I got up, and in the midst of that, I was working on this. And the Lord said, won't you go read point number two of your sermon? Do you think I have miraculous power? Yes, Lord. Do you think I can take care of this power bill situation? Yes, Lord. Are you going to sleep? Please, Lord. We called the next day, and can I just say it's not sorted yet? I love Ireland. She just, because it was like, dooby-dooby-dooby-dooby, like, you know, and she was like, well, that's not right, and we don't know why it's not right. Ah, don't worry about it. It'll be fine. And she hung up. And I was like, that's good enough for me. Can I tell you what? I'm sleeping great. Because Jesus take care of it. Now, I don't know what your thing is that you brought in this morning, but what is it in your life that you just need to be reminded that your king is a powerful king? He owns the cattle on a thousand hills. What is it that you need to be reminded of? That thing that you think can't be done. The Bible says with man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. That person you think will never be saved, do you not think powerful King Jesus can't save them? That relationship that you think will never be restored, do you not believe that powerful King Jesus can restore that? That financial problem, that struggle, that sin that you just can't get victory over, do you believe that powerful King Jesus can forgive you, restore you, and help you? That's who he is. Amen? And so let us not forget that our King is a glorious King, but he is a powerful King, and he provides for his people. He'll take care of you. That's who he is. He's a good, good God. Amen? He is a good, good God. Lastly, we see this, that at the triumphal entry, we see the majestic glory of Jesus. We see the miraculous power of Jesus. But lastly, at the triumphal entry, we see the missional focus of Jesus. And what we mean by that is this, that Jesus came with a mission in mind. Jesus came with a mission in mind. Look what it says in verse 9, what Matthew records for us. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven. Isn't that glorious? Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna, the word literally means save us. It means save us, he who saves. And so they're literally, Jesus is coming in on a donkey. Some of them are taking off their coats and putting them on the ground. That's the red carpet, right? Some of them are taking palm branches, putting them on the ground. That's the red carpet. And what are they shouting? They are shouting, save us, save us, save us. That's what they're shouting. Why? Because that's exactly what he came to do. Exactly what can. Sometimes when the bill comes and you can't pay it, you need to lay in bed and just say, save us, save us, save us. Right? When you're at wit's end with your children, you just need to say, save us, save us. For real, right? Amen. We need to just proclaim, God, you came to save us from all this stuff. And Lord, I believe you can do it. And so, God, I'm just going to begin to proclaim it. Save us, God. When you walk the streets of Erdington and you see the hopelessness and the lostness and the despair, begin to cry out, save us, save us, save us. For he came to seek and save that which is lost. If he has 99 sheep in the pen, but just one has went away, he leaves the 99 and goes after the one. Save us, save us, save us. It's who Jesus is. We pray that over one another. We proclaim it. Luke records this for us. He says, as he, Jesus, approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it and said, if you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes. He weeps over their lostness. Don't forget that this Sunday, they're shouting, save us, save us. And Friday, the same crowd will shout, crucify, crucify, crucify. And as Jesus looks over these people who he knows are fickle and he knows will shout his praises and shout his condemnation in the same week, as he looks over them, he weeps. Why? Because he loves them. Because he loves them. While Jesus is on the cross, and I would encourage you to do it this week, Jesus spoke 6 times on the cross, which we know just from the physical nature of crucifixion, it was extremely difficult to speak when you were being crucified. Most people never spoke. But Jesus speaks 6 times. And look those up, not right now, but look them up this week. Meditate on those. And one of the things Jesus speaks on the cross is he looks down at the very religious leaders who have instrumented, you know, his death. And what does he say? He says, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And this is the crowd. The Hosanna crowd becomes the crucify crowd. And Jesus says, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Jesus came to seek and save that which is lost. I love the way Paul says it in his letter to the Corinthians. Describing Jesus, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, he says this. He says, referring to Jesus, he says, "He who knew no sin became sin that we might become the righteousness of God." Is that not amazing? That here's Jesus. The Bible says he was tempted in every way as a man, yet without sin. This Jesus, who faced every temptation known to man, but never gave in, who lived this perfect life, that he who knew no sin on the cross bore all of my sins that I might become the righteousness of God. And so one day when I stand before God in judgment, it's not that Jesus needs to stand in front of me and plead my case to his Father. No, it's not that at all, because when the Father looks at me, he'll see the Son. He'll see the Son. Why? For the righteousness of God has been imputed to me. And if you knew how bad my heart is, you would know how miraculous that is. That's what Jesus has done. Oh, but Kenny, you don't know the mistakes I've made. Kenny, you don't know how I've walked away from the Lord and come back and back and back. And you don't know what I've done. And I don't need to know. I know what the Bible says. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Amen, church? Amen. That's who he is. He didn't leave you here after he saved you because he knew you were going to do really well. He left you here after he saved you because he knew you're going to need him every single day. And through you, he's going to be at work for his glory and your good, even in your bad choices. Because he's a miraculous king, he's a glorious king, and he's a missional king. And it doesn't matter if you're in Dublin or Derby, Jesus loves you. He died on the cross for you. And if you'll call out to him, he will save you. Let me pray for us. Lord Jesus, we love you and we thank you for your word. We thank you that it is alive and true. And Jesus, we thank you that you are a glorious King, worthy of all praise. Worthy of all praise. You and you alone are a beautiful King, the King of kings and Lord of lords. We thank you, Jesus, that you are our miraculous King. That, Jesus, there is nothing you cannot do. That you provide for your people. That you protect your people. It is who you are. You are the Good Shepherd. And even when we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, there you are. Your rod and staff, they comfort us. Thank you. And Jesus, we thank you that you are our missional King. that Jesus, Philippians 2 says, that you left heaven and came and died, even the death of a cross. Jesus, you came and left all the glories of heaven and came to this earth. You came to places like Erdington and Dublin and Beijing and Paris and Washington. You came, and Lord, you came to your creation, Lord Jesus, that we might be saved. You came to seek and save that which is lost. And Lord, you've now given us that task to go and to share that message of good news. For we know that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. So Lord, over this next week, as we journey with you to the cross, Jesus, I pray that you would draw our hearts close to your throne, that you would be at work in us and through us. And Jesus, I pray you give us opportunities to proclaim this good news to our neighbors, to our friends, to our family, to the guy on the bus, that they too may know that you are a good, good King. And Lord, I just want to pray for someone who's here this morning, and maybe like me, there's that thing that's just occupying their heart, and it's a cause of anxiety and worry. I pray that in just a moment, as we worship you through music, that Lord, they could just lay that at your feet, and that you would replace it with your peace that passes understanding. Your word says in 1 Peter, cast all your cares upon me, for I care for you. So I pray for my brother and sister that they would be able to do that. I pray for my brother and sister, Lord, that maybe has come and still feels a sense of condemnation. We thank you, Lord, that your word says that in Christ there is no condemnation. That they would be reminded that you came to go after the one that ran astray. And that they would come back like the prodigal son and know you and love you. And then, Lord, if any of us are here and there's never been that day that we've come to know you as Lord and Savior, what a glorious day today would be that we would do that. Today is the day of salvation. And so in just a moment, church, we're going to sing, we're going to worship, and if you need someone to speak with or to pray with, find someone at your table, find someone you know, and they would love to do that. Lord, may you be at work in this space for your glory and for our good, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's stand together and we'll worship the Lord.